I got enough flag. We're live on Facebook. What's up, Woo! Facebook?
I gotta share it out there then, guys.
We'll share it out real quick. So we'll kind of just take, I've been doing this 5-minute timer. Welcome those of you who are watching right away. First of all, thanks. I'm here with Mike Fallett. You can probably see his bright and shining face and his amazing flag in the background. And very nice. He's a best-selling author. You guys didn't know that about him, but he's big time. So we're going to be talking kind of just about entrepreneurship, some stuff he's got going on, how to launch live events, which is kind of just a selfish question I have for him, because I'm like, he's doing these live events every day all the time. I'm like, I want to be able to do what Mike's doing. So, yeah, if you guys are just jumping on here real quick, we're just sharing this out, kind of making sure all of our tech works. If you can hear us, you know, give me some thumbs up and also comment with your favorite ice cream. I don't know. What's your favorite flavor ice cream?
It's every day, all the time.
I better share that out. There we go.
We're going to share this all over the place. Oh, Marilyn's here. Marilyn, you interviewed her, didn't you? Marilyn Crump?
Oh, I know Marilyn. Yeah, she's on. Nice.
Yeah, she's Marilyn. On. She watches most of these. You're great, Marilyn, by the way. Marilyn, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? I need to know something. I do.
Marilyn's awesome. I don't know if you saw the interview with me and with Marilyn, but it was awesome.
I did.
Got the studio down there. It's nice.
She's like got all this ninja stuff she's done too that I didn't know about you. You're a little sneaky, like, cool person. I didn't know you could do all this stuff, Marilyn, but not that I underestimated you, but I just didn't know that was going down. So cool.
And she's a best-selling author also.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she is. Yeah. She said that in the interview, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she's
or maybe
got a lot
you
going
mentioned
on.
It. Yeah. It was pretty sweet. So cool. We're going to get this rolling here in just a little bit. We're going to get started in just about 2 minutes. If you're just jumping on, say hi, like, and tag. Don't share, because apparently sharing doesn't work on Facebook anymore. have you
what?
Noticed that? Yeah, it doesn't work that well anymore. I mean, I'm sharing. You and me are sharing it right now, so we'll get a little buzz from people who already follow us. But, like, sharing is not caring anymore, my friend.
So is it have something to do with how it's optimized then? Is it they're changing
it's kind
it?
Of the optimization, right? So we're finding that, like, shared posts are getting, like, almost no additional reach. And I've heard, and I don't know this, but I've heard from people who most of us would consider smart, I won't mention any names, but, like, that sharing from a business page on your personal page all day, every day, actually hurts your personal page's reach. Because
Whoa.
Facebook knows you're using it for business. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy stuff. So
what do you use
doing,
more?
Man?
You use personal or do you use business more?
So I kind of go back and forth. I was really into business for a while because you can then boost those posts. I probably use the business for, like, this show. I mean, obviously, because then I can boost it after, and it's just better. But I use both. I just use them differently is what I've been doing. So
I've been using mostly personal because yeah. I've noticed that I'm just getting a better, you know, better reach with my personal. So I just stay with that. I'm just going with what works.
Yeah, the reach is better 100% on personal. So that's why, like, they want personal. Like, that's why people are I think that's why the sharing isn't working as well, because since personal reach is so good, people were kind of hacking, like, gaming the system, right? They were, like, going on their business page, but sharing it all day on their personal page. So they were kind of hacking the reach. And so Facebook will actually pick up on that now. So I almost treat them like two separate things. I know. It's
sneaky
crazy.
Bastards. They're catching
people,
us, huh?
People are sneaky. Hey, if you're sneaky, you deserve to have your algorithm messed up. No, I use, like, my personal, almost like a little blog. And I use my business page for, like, video interviews and obviously, like, ads and formal promotions and things like that. So kind of use them both. We'll see. I'm trying to get this thing verified. I don't know what I have to do to get this verified. It's taking me forever. I don't know what I got to do, man. It's like it's a nightmare. And I'm staring at the camera here, which is why I'm not looking at you, Mike. But
gotcha.
I want
yeah.
to. It's taking everything in my power to not do it.
Yeah, I'm seeing the side of your face. I mean, I'm used to seeing the straight on, the hats in the background, everything. I love the background with the bricks. It's beautiful.
Thanks, dude. Yeah.
I was watching you whenever you were just getting it going, like getting it set up, and it didn't look like that. It was demolished room that you put it all together and made it look beautiful, man. So
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a nightmare. So, all right, welcome to episode 17 of AJTV. Today we have Mike Fallot, the American entrepreneur here. He owns a company called Dream Starters University. He's a best-selling author, motivational summits unleashed. He does all this awesome stuff. And he's going to go into how to launch a live event today and more. But before we do that, let's cue our intro. All right, once again, welcome to AJTV episode 17, the show where we interview top-level authors, entrepreneurs, experts, business coaches, fitness professionals, everybody, hack their brain for their ninja secrets, and just kind of hang out. I'm here with Mike Fallot. Mike, thank you so much for being here, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. I love it. I love what you do. Your team, I've seen you were out in Maui. You work with Corey Gladwell. I love what you guys do, so thanks for having me a part of this, man.
Dude, I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate you rescheduling. You know, we were supposed to go on yesterday, I know, but, like, I was on a plane from
You're
Hawaii.
On the beach. You're on the beach,
I was just on
man.
The beach, and I was like, yo, Mike, I can't go.
That's all right. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at 65 degrees, so I feel like we have something in common, but next week it's going to be down in the 30s again, so I'll be miserable next week, not this week.
You can always come out to LA here. You know, we're miserable. It's 64 today. I don't know what to do with myself. There are people literally in parkas. It's not a joke. People literally live like this here, and we adjusted, unfortunately, very quickly. Awesome, dude. So I really appreciate you being here. Why don't we move really quick for people who've been, as I say, living under a rock. Everybody says that. I don't know. I didn't invent it. Who are you? What's your deal? Why should I keep staring at your face besides for the amazing flag and the amazing face?
That's right, man. Well, once again, thanks for having me on. I'm Mike Fallot. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I've been an entrepreneur since 2008. Got out of school, went to Duquesne University, got a finance degree. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with a finance degree? I don't want to be in an office all day. Yeah. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So my mentor at the time, he was an entrepreneur, real estate guru. He told me to get into real estate and got into multi-unit rental properties. He had very little money, so I had to find some places that, you know, didn't take a lot to get into. Got a real estate license, you know, bought my own first place with the commission that I made actually from buying it. So had like a no money down, no, you know, there was a transaction with basically no swap of money. And so I was up and running in 2008 as an entrepreneur, and I'm like, wait a second, this is really just for money. What am I going to do for my passion? Met up with some people where we started creating a little software program that connected multiple businesses. So there's like a rewards program. You shop local, you save money on local businesses. Did that for 5 years, failed in flames, went down in flames with that business.
Really? Sounded really like, I was like, man, that sounds like a really good business. What happened with that?
It was called Go Next World. It was all about getting people to shop local rather than going to corporate stores. And we met some, you know, pretty ingenious people who are programmers, marketing gurus, all that. We started putting it together, put $100,000 into it. We got some investors, and we just weren't ready. There was no demand. We were creating a demand, we thought, but there was no demand there.
Totally.
And so when you're dealing with small businesses, there's a lot of small businesses that don't have a lot of, you know, resources or money to invest into understanding data, which we were all about tracking data, first time customers, repeat customers, you know, genders, what time they're shopping, ages. And there was a lot going into it. We just didn't have the money to survive. Could have survived maybe if we had another couple $100,000, but, you know, it was a good thing that it ended, because that led me on to other adventures, met a couple different people, started other businesses. Started a company called Doggy Surprise. I know you're a dog lover. I wanted to talk dogs with you. And it was a shipment of toys and treats to your dog. And it was very similar to BarkBox, but it was a little bit of a twist to it.
Cool.
And then once that became successful, people started asking me, hey, man, how do I get into entrepreneurship? So I felt like my passion, my calling was to help all these other businesses to succeed.
Totally.
Turned into consulting, and then I wrote a book, and that book led into other adventures, and that's the beauty of entrepreneurship, man. You just never know where you're going to go tomorrow.
I love it, man. That's awesome. I didn't know all that about you, dude, because, like, last time we talked, I was on your show, and you were just – it's all about me. So I think this is great that we get to kind of flip it around, and I get to kind of dig in your brain. I didn't know all that sweet stuff about you, man. That's awesome. I think it's really cool. Like, we were talking about this with Cora Poge, who was at our Mastermind retreat, you know, a few days ago. And, like, sometimes things just kind of flow natural. Like, when you start letting things flow, everything feels better. And you kind of end up where you're supposed to be anyways, as opposed to trying to, like, force things to happen all the time. And that kind of sounds like how it was going with you, too, man. So, cool.
If it's inauthentic, then it's not you. And then if it's not you, you're not going to be the best at it. If you're not going to be the best at it, what the hell is the point of even doing it, right?
Totally, totally. And I think, too, like, what you and me might share in common, and, like, it's funny, I kind of make fun of these people who have mentors all the time, but I'm a person who has a mentor all the time. And and once you've been mentored and, like, your life feels like all my mentors have easily fast forwarded my life by like 10 years. Each one, like even the ones that are borderline scammers have accelerated my life because I learned from it regardless. And that's what made me want to start helping other people do it, because I remember what it was like to be struggling and poor and like, how am I going to provide for a family or live the life I feel like I am destined to live. And I want to be able to help other people do that. And I could see that in you as well. So I think that's like, everybody who's been coached at least a little bit at some point in their life, just because of the massive impact it's had on their life. So
yeah, there's something about the giving back too. Like I love thinking about the days where, you know, I'm sleeping on my friend's floor and, you know, you don't have any money to afford anything. And I love going back and revisiting that, because I'm able to maybe motivate or inspire people who are going through the same thing, or, you know, the dark days of your past. Like I talked with Corey Gladwell. I know he had some tough times. And it comes down to, since you went through really hard times, you have confidence yourself that you can get at yourself out of anything. And if you can convey that to other people, whether it's in a speaking gig, whether it's one-on-one coaching, then it's just fulfilling inside. You're like, you know what? Thank God I did that. Thank God it was hard, because I wouldn't be able to help them if it wasn't hard. Make sense?
Totally. No, 100%, man. I'm with you. I 100% agree. I think the hard, it allows us to relate in people to people. And we can, you know, there's all different types of people who've had, like, there are people, you know, I know Corey Gladwell's your story. You know, I was sleeping on my couch. Corey Gladwell grew up in Section 8, you know. But there are other people who haven't had that challenge. And, like I feel like almost like that entitled kind of brat. Like, I was poor for a while, but I didn't grow up poor. I grew up kind of middle class, like, and I was just mediocre. And that in its own way is challenging, because you're surrounded by a bunch of people who are like, why are you shooting for more? So it allows you to just connect with different audiences and meet people where they're at. So that, yeah, man, I'm with it. So let's get to this. You know, you got all these sweet motivational, like, seminars, business seminars coming up. What got you into that? How are those going? And eventually I'm gonna ask you how I can do one myself, or how could somebody watching this do one?
Yes. So last year, I'm just finishing up the book. The book's called Dream Starter, by the way, right here. The Startup Business Guy for the Diehard Entrepreneur. All right, so I'm finishing up the book, and I'm cutting my grass, and I don't know how to really market the book. You know, the book's getting done. It's going to be published, all that, but I just don't know how to market it. So I pull up my phone because I'm listening to Pandora. I see this Facebook ad pop up. It was an author seminar. It says what to do with your book when it's finished. Like, it was a mess. It was like sent from God. Like, holy smokes.
This hey, is Mike.
What am I? Go here. I'm like, okay, it was free.
Clicked it.
This is like a month in advance. I it comes up and it reminds me. I'm like, oh yeah, that author seminar. Let me go down. So I'm in the author seminar. It teaches you how to market yourself with the book. Now, that thing in itself is a great marketing tool. But what you can use that book to get into speaking gigs, whether it's going to be rooms just to teach people, whether it's even, you know, to grow your business, your brand, to meet other business owners like yourself, it was such a way for me to branch out. So they're teaching you all this stuff in this seminar. Now, to join the seminar was like $40,000, like the true seminar. I just went for the free 3-day thing, you know?
Right.
So I'm in there and they're teaching all these little tricks. I'm like, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. And I was like, okay, well, all right, let me just get up. As soon as the 3 days are over, let me go and try it on my own. Let me see if I can do it. But there was one other individual in that seminar. Her name was Sherry Jo Watkins. And she joined up with the program. So I was like, okay, well, she's really into it. She's focused. And, you know, you can always test somebody if they're committed to something by how much they invest in it, right?
Right.
Well, I knew that she was as committed as me because she put the money up front. And I I wasn't a part of it, so you could even say that I wasn't committed, but I knew that I could kind of trust myself and make it on my own. But I couldn't trust her until she put up the money to actually join the program. I knew that she was committed. So we got together one day and she goes, my book's going to be done in a couple months. And I'm like, well, my book's done. I'm just going to finalize it and market it through maybe a motivational seminar. She goes, I'd love to do that. So we're like, okay, why don't we just put on our own seminar? And so we put our minds together. We put our first seminar on October of this past year at Phipps Conservatory in Pittsburgh. If you guys are familiar with Pittsburgh out there, Phipps Conservatory is a real nice place. We got other speakers, other business owners to collaborate and come in as speakers. We marketed the hell out of Pittsburgh. We went to some news places and newspapers and schools, and they got some people there for us. And it kind of started a whole trend. Every month we would do the motivational seminars. Now, in addition to that, I started making connections with schools. And so I was like, you know what? I'll come in and talk about entrepreneurship because I got this book out and I can get in there and talk about the seven most essential things that I've went through and I've learned along the way to your students. Because I would think that a lot of schools don't have entrepreneurship classes being taught by true entrepreneurs. So I figured to start reaching out to schools, and they said yes. I started getting into places. And I'm telling you, it all started because of the damn book. That's the only way I got into these places, you know?
Yep.
So it turned into teaching entrepreneurship to students, and then we started growing that, and then I started talking about the book, where there's a lot of curiosity in how to write a book, because 9 out of 10 people want to write a book, but only 1 out of 10 ever do, it seems like.
No, that's awesome, man. It's kind of like, it's weird. We were talking about that at the retreat. Like, there's, you just have to start doing things, and things lead to the new things. And like, we always want to just jump to the top first. We want to be on stage, you know, we want to open for Tony Robbins first. We don't want to do all the first things that lead up to it. But just doing those things and kind of trying to come from a place of service versus like, how much money can I get or whatever, right? Just like, well, let me help. Like, you go into schools, like, you're not going to make any, unless they pay you, and probably for your time, it's not worth it. But like, you're like, well, I'm going to serve these kids, because I remember being a kid wanting to learn about entrepreneurship and nobody really understood me. Nobody got me, which is kind of what's so great about, I think, social media too, is you can connect with other people who get it, right? Who understand how you are. Awesome, dude. So yeah, I think that's great what you're doing. I love what you're doing over there. I'm glad we were able to jump on now instead of like right away when we started the show, because it allowed all this sweet stuff to happen in that short interim. So talk about the live event. Like, okay, if somebody's watching here, right, what's kind of their first step to getting on a stage? Because I know a lot of people want to speak on stage, right? But they don't know. They don't know where to start, right? I didn't know where. I was just, you know, I just kept doing, me personally, I just kept doing stuff until people asked me to be on stage. But for you, like, what would you recommend other people do to help get them there if they're really into public speaking? Difference between free and paid? And I'm just saying this out loud now, not to bombard you, but so I don't forget.
Well, I think the key is to get started. So I've even met a lot of so many driven people that I've met are still afraid to get up on stage. And I ask these people, I'm like, you know, what's your dream? Like, well, I want to be a public speaker. And I'll ask them, like, hey, I'm going to an event maybe in a couple of weeks. You want to do it? I don't know if I'm ready. You know, like, what do you mean? I'm giving you an opportunity to get up on stage. It's not going to be a paid speaking gig per se, but guess what? You have to start somewhere. You know, all the music bands out there, they have to go and play for free to a lot of places until they can actually start getting paid for it. It's the same thing with being a public speaker. You're going to have to do so much, you know, at your own expense for the longest time. But then the people who see that you're committed enough are going to say, you know what? I saw you at that one event. Can you come and speak at this event? And it's all about just growing your brand from the grassroots and just getting out there and saying yes to whenever somebody says, hey man, I'm looking for a speaker for 5 to 10 minutes. Just come and do a gig. Now, the way I do it, and this is something that's a little bit different, is there are people all over the world I'm talking to, you know, one in Africa, you know, obviously the West Coast, people in Canada. And I'll say, you know what, I'm going to try to help you to get speaking gigs. What I'm going to do is do a Skype session or a video session with you at my event. Therefore, when I'm there and I fought like hell to get in that room, and there's 20, 30 people in that room, maybe more, maybe less, I'm not sure, you're going to be up on the screen and you're going to be able to tell your speech. At the end of that, you're going to be able to put on your resume that you were a speaker at the American Entrepreneur Seminar at CCAC North in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because you are speaking, people are able to ask you questions if need be, and that's you're a speaker. And so all it is building that resume up. So if you get a long resume and you put on your website and you start reaching out to schools, high schools, colleges, organizations, corporations. Hey, I could speak about teamwork. I could speak about collaborations. I could teach about networking or entrepreneurship. As an entrepreneur, it's difficult to get into the corporations to teach about entrepreneurship because you're basically telling everybody, quit your damn job, start a business. So I learned that lesson the hard way. But anyway, there's schools out there who are looking for this. And I'm talking to a couple different schools right now where obviously it's not going to happen overnight, but they'll plan for it 3 months from now to pay you for it because they have money in this account to pay speakers. And the bigger your resume is, the more money you're going to make in the end. So get started. That's my advice.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's great advice. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate. How do I get started? Don't even make six figures, let's say, not me, but like, let's say I'm somebody who's like, I don't make six figures yet. My business is just kind of starting. How do I become a public, like, where do I go? Where do they go?
So, okay, give me an example of what business you're in. Are you in real estate? Are you in?
I'm a personal trainer, and I have a business. I'm doing all right, but I'm not, I'm doing okay. I'm like, my business is doing six figures. I don't make six figures. And I want to speak on stage about fitness and mindset and health. How do I get on those stages? Who do I talk to?
Number one, you're an entrepreneur. So there's always something you can fall back on. Students in school have no entrepreneurial experience. They have zero, zip. So you would go to a school, any college nearby, and say, listen, I'm looking to be a speaker at one of the classes. Can you put me in contact with one of the business teachers or one of the business consultants or, anybody in charge of, big organizations or even small organizations there? Put me in charge with in contact with them via email. Start hitting them up with emails and saying, here's what I can talk about. Just hit them as many times as you can. Okay.
Yeah.
But also, in addition, you're in fitness. You want to get some type of experience in speaking in front of a large group of people. So I would, and this is, I've seen this done, go to different CrossFit organizations, go to different gyms around and say, listen, I'll put on a free 25, 30 minute clinic. Just, I want to get a testimonial from you when I'm done of how I did whenever I spoke to your classes, to your group, to your company. Just give me testimonials, video testimonials if you can, but I would prefer just anything. So you take that, any little bit, pictures, video. People go and do these speaking events and they don't even take pictures of the damn thing. So it almost like it didn't even happen. So yeah. Whenever you go and do anything, whether it's in front of 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, no matter how small it is, you get tons of pictures, you get tons of video, you get testimonials, and you get as many bits of information that you can broadcast on your website to keep building and building and building. So therefore, at the end of the day, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, you have a ton of work on your resume that you can send to that college, that organization. And therefore, it's going to just keep snowballing into something.
I think that's a great idea. And it also lets you get feedback too, right? So like if you don't want to go to the 1,000 person stage your first time if you mess up, right? Or you notice that certain parts of your story don't connect with people or whatever. So I think that's a smart idea. I mean, that's kind of, and public speaking isn't my big thing. I do some of it, but that's how I started. Is I was like, okay, let me start. I had a gym, so that's why I said that. I actually started by doing a kind of a public speaking in my own gym. And
you got experience right out of the gate, which makes you more comfortable, right?
Right, right. So like that's part of the reason I was so fine with it too. And you're kind of like, if you're a trainer, right, you're familiar with everybody. You already know them, they already kind of look up to you. So it gets rid of that nervousness of, ooh, what are these people gonna think? You already know what they think. They probably think you're pretty cool if they're paying you for fitness advice. So that's kind of what I did, right? Like I did, and I remember those were like 20 to 50 people. So then when I was able to go to other, mastermind events and talk there, different things, like, my friend AJ Merzad has a thing, Justin Stenstrop has a thing, up kind of close to you in Boston area, later this year. Like, it's like, oh, no big deal, because I've done this a bunch of times and I'm very sure of what I'm doing. And you're kind of detached from the wanting everybody to jump up and down and cry at your speech by the end of it. At least I am now most of the time. So cool. Awesome.
But also, and just to add on to that one little bit of information I give, what I've noticed, and I'm telling you right now, that people's ears perk up if you show some type of credentials that are above other people. And I know that there are, like with Corey and there's other authors out there, they've noticed this themselves. But the moment you write a book, it's you have something to sell. Now, you're not going to sell anything there, but you could say, hey, I'm going to go in front of your class, in front of your students. I'll give everybody a copy of my book just for being there for the 20, 30 minutes. And just having something that you could offer that's maybe it's a loss leader, maybe it's a free event that you're given. However, maybe you're selling something, a service, or whether it's going to be training, whether it's the book itself, whether it's some type of package, there's still a way to make money from it. And that's what a lot of people forget. You know, oh, I'm not going to go and speak for free. No, do it for free. But, yeah, you know, you're going to gain a lot of controllable metrics, which are like pictures and videos. But also you're able to sell something along the way. So just don't think of it as just you're giving your time away.
Yeah, totally. I agree. And I think it's definitely a long play. And it's you're not that far away once you've done a few free ones for being paid for them. But kind of think about the event you're going to. I would agree with that. I have a friend who I spoke at one of his mastermind events. And he right away was like, I don't pay people to come speak to my events. He's like, I had Tim Ferriss. He's good friends with Tim Ferriss. He's like, I had Tim Ferriss speak at the last one for free. He's like, you think I'm going to pay? And I wasn't asking him for money. He was giving me an instance of him talking to somebody else who's like, yeah, I charge $15,000 for a speaking engagement plus expenses. Or he's like, dude, I had Tim Ferriss at my last one for free. You think I'm going to pay you? And he wasn't being mean. He's very nice. He wasn't being mean at all. He was just saying, listen, dude, like you're like, I'm putting you on a level with high level people. Like, don't that's like kind need. Of know the room, right? Like if you're a keynote speaker and you're like the expert in the room, maybe you'll get paid. If they saw you out, maybe you'll get paid. But if you're just, you know, fortunate enough to be in the same room with those people, don't take it for granted and don't throw it away, because it won't help you today, but a year from now, 2 years from now, it'll serve you a lot. And I think it's even faster with how quickly, like the exponential rate of how things are going now, it's crazy. So yeah, awesome, dude.
It's if you think about who you're on stage with, you know, and no matter who it is, it could be the, I was on stage with the number one Pittsburgh motivational speaker, and it just, you know, you gain something from them. And then also every event that he goes to, he might mention your name, you know, and it just keeps, you're able to grow from even something that's so minor. I would take any gig if you're going to be on a level with some of these high people, you know, just take it, man.
Don't look totally. Back. Yeah. And I think it's just, you get people talking about you too. Like, I think that's an underestimated thing. Like, you can't measure it, you can't track the ROI, but like those are just more touches of people. Like it's definitely like a ripple effect. And you have, you know, you go to a room of even like 20 kids and let's say they're, you know, high school kids or whatever, they bring these books home and give it to their parents. They're like, who the hell is Mike? You know, and they're reading this and they're like, this is pretty sweet, you know? And those people are it's a very long play, but it's a more permanent play, I for think, sure. In your business than, you know, just what's the Facebook ad hack of the week, you know? So right. Totally, man. Cool. What are you working on now that's got you excited and got you fired up?
Well, the thing that came about from all these speaking gigs really is, I mean, even the teachers or anybody who I'm meeting with, or some of the people who are looking to start a business, they have no idea what their business is going to be 5 years from now. So I'll tell people what I started doing is helping them start a book. You know, I'm a big believer. If you see this right here, my shirt says, my obituary will be a bestseller. That's part of one of my shirts that I have on the website. And I'll get people during these seminars to write their dream obituary down. Okay, I'll get the people to say, how do you want to be remembered? Because vision, I think, is the number one thing an entrepreneur needs. You know, in the book, I talk about vision, simplicity, demand, value, knowing your customer, rewards, incentives, and motivation. Those are the seven most essential things to me. And so people are like, well, I have no idea where I'm gonna go with my life. I'll say, you know what? Write down your dream obituary and you'll figure out where you're going from. You know, how do you want to be remembered whenever you die? But you can reverse engineer your life and work your way back.
Go ahead.
What were you saying?
Before I forget, I just wanted to speak to that because that sounds a little weird or dark, I think, at first. I was watching, it totally sounds that way, but I was watching some of the testimonials of your clients the other day, and they're like, and they said the same thing. They're like, that sounds weird and dark, but then I did it, and it really got you thinking, man, what legacy do I want to leave, right? And it can be anything, right? It can be having amazing kids, and it can be having billion-dollar empire, but I think knowing that is very beneficial. So I wanted to speak to the awesomeness because I've never heard of anybody doing that, which I'm sure somebody does, but I mean, you're the first person I've heard of. But anyway, didn't mean to cut you off there. Keep rolling.
No problem. Yeah, so I get these people to write their dream obituary, and it sounds like it's creepy. Now, I have my former clients to send me their dream obituaries. So I have people's dream obituaries in my email and on my folders, and it's kind of messed up. But I'm telling you, this thing works. These people are starting to live a life according to how they want to be remembered. Yeah. So what it took was for them to write it down on paper, for them to read it and have other people see it. So I've been starting to help people write books now, okay? And it really kind of spawned from nothing, because all it really comes down to is credibility. I'm helping the entrepreneur gain credibility, because right. I know there's so much noise out there. The only way that you could really show that you're above others is really just constant work, commitment, and then showing that you try harder. And book is a way to do that, but also a way to brand yourself. So I'm putting together, you know, helping people piece together the book and then helping them use that as a marketing tool. Because the more that we can kind of help each other kind of grow, you know, it's going to be, you're surrounding yourself with the right people. It's incredible that all the go-getters and people who are driven, who are willing to put themselves, you know, down on paper and say, this is who I am right now, but here's where I'm going to go in life. I want to be around those people. And that's what the community I'm forming right now is. It's the Dream Starters Publishing, where we're turning in from authors into really the main goal is public speakers, which leads to more clients. And that's the true vision. Obviously,
I think it's awesome too, because that stuff kind of can't get taken away from you, right? So like somebody can, you know, and I hate this word, but hack your funnel. People can do that, right? People can copy your IP, right? They can copy your exact stuff and sell it out there, but they can't take, nobody else can be Mike Fallett. Like you just can't, right? You can't, that can never be taken away from you. And it's a little more long lasting, like it's a little more future seeking. And I think we're going to have a really cool conversation, you and I, in probably like 2 or 3 years when another kind of crash happens. I think it's coming in 2-5 tops, personally. I've been talking about this, not as a bummer. I think it's a great thing. I think we're going to have a crazy conversation 2-3 years. You're going to be like, yeah, because of this crash, I'm helping literally thousands of entrepreneurs enter the marketplace now because there's just such a huge demand for it. So, yeah.
You mean the crash of just the people who are doing the same thing of the funnels, or are you talking
about people who aren't even in entrepreneurship at all? I think there's it's coming. And the only businesses, I think the businesses who have established themselves as credible speakers and subject matter experts are going to be the ones who really shine versus the guy who starts, you know, a course in 3 years because he's broke. You know?
Well, have you seen statistics out there to show that 1950, right around 30 or 25% of people own businesses, right? But nowadays, it's less than 9%. So that means that people are just getting sucked into the corporate world or jobs that they hate. I'm telling you, there's going to be a turnaround, and entrepreneurship is really going to come back strong. And I can see it already, but it's really going to come back. And I think you're right about that. That's why, you know, you have to go – obviously, entrepreneurs have to have a vision where, you know, to satisfy demand now, but they have to satisfy demand 5 years from now, too. And I think we're all onto something that they're trying to grow their own brand, because that's really what's going to take years from now, is to have your own niche, have your own brand.
Yeah, and I think that's important, too, to understand the distinction between branding and marketing. You know, Corey Gladwell talks about that all the time. Branding is the stuff that doesn't necessarily have direct ROI, right? It's more of a long-term ROI. It's more of like how you appear to the marketplace, where marketing
feeling.
Is
the feeling.
So, the feeling, right? Where marketing is like, okay, I put $1 in, how much money do I get out of this? You know, what's my LCV? And knowing those two things and making sure they're both in your business is gonna help you not only survive the crash, but thrive in it. And I think you're doing awesome stuff, man. So cool. Let's kind of wrap up here. I mean, if I want to find Mike Fallett, if I want to hang out with you, if I need help with a book, where do I go? Where's your stuff?
Well, the number one way is dreamstartersuniversity.com. You can find me on there. You can contact me a couple different, you know, ways on there. You can find me on my phone number. I'll give you my phone number, because I'm telling you, I swear to God, I'm giving phone numbers. That's how much I care. I mean, I'm telling you right now, 412-496-9448 goes directly
to me. That's insane. I would never, I wouldn't even give like all my family my phone. That's like a rule. I'm like, don't call me on my personal phone. Like, that's wild, man.
Well, awesome. here's the thing is I swear to God, I started helping people. What I'll do is, and if anybody's sharing this, anybody shares this out, number one, I'm going to send you a free copy of my book. Please, anybody share this whole thing out. I'll find you. I'll send you a copy of my book. Number two, if anybody's interested, I'll design. I'm loving what I right now. What I'm doing is designing free covers for people, free covers for their books. So if you had a book in mind, I'll design a cover for you for free, no strings attached whatsoever. And I'm loving to do it. So it does, you know, it takes me a little bit of time. I get to know you a little bit. Okay, boom, I got something for you, and I'll just give it to you. So phone number, there's the email, but also on Instagram or Twitter is the Dream Starter. The Dream Starter, which obviously is a great pickup line at the bar.
The Dream Starter, huh?
Yeah.
What's your success rate with that at the bar?
No.
What's your conversion?
Used to be. Used to be. I guess it really didn't work out too well, but I at least tried it, you know?
Is it above 20%? Because if it's above 20%, it's successful. That's a good conversion.
Hey, as long as I get the story the next day. Some dude said, contact him. He's the Dream Starter. What?
He gave me his book and put his number in it. I was like, yeah. All right. Dude, what, that's a great pickup line. Here's my book.
Yeah, he is. Oh, well, yeah. He's talking about his obituary and writing obituary, how I want to die.
He's a pretty deep guy. I think I'm in love. No, totally.
Yeah, that's the best ways to reach me. And the website obviously is number one. But if you follow me at The Dream Starter or Mike Fallett, MikeFallat on Twitter, Instagram, contact me. I actually love to hear from anybody who's looking to start a business, who's an entrepreneur. I love being around you. So I want to hear.
Awesome, that. Man. Mike, I appreciate you being here, brother. That was Mike Fallett. He is the Dream Starter, Dream Starters University. I highly recommend getting his book. It is a bestseller already, which is ridiculous. But yeah, you can get him at Dream Starters University. And I'm sure you can get more information about his speaking engagements. Like you said, he's doing them all the time here. So and they're wonderful. He also has an amazing show himself called The American Entrepreneur, which was really nice of you to not plug, but plug away. But yeah, man. So yeah, this has been AJTV. Episode 17, How to Launch a Live Event with Mr. Mike Fallett. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and hit like or subscribe or whatever. Leave a review. Tag a friend. You can share it, but not a lot of people are going to see it. But you might get a free book, so that's pretty cool. So I will see you guys next time. I don't know when the next time is. I just got back from Hawaii, so I'm still just kind of riding the flow. But thank you guys so much for watching. This has been AJTV. I'll see you next time.